Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. We are talking about the stories of the Bible and their significance, and we're really learning how to be better Bible readers as we're focusing on what God wants us to get out of the Bible stories, maybe not what our instincts, maybe not what some preachers we've heard have emphasized. We want to get the most important things out of the scriptures. But before we do that, I want to let you know, if you haven't heard yet, Fortis now has a new podcast that is just launching, and it is called In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle. Dr. Jason Lyle is super smart on astrophysics. He's an astrophysicist, and he is dealing with all things creation and creation science, and really showing the significance of some of the findings and how they demonstrate the truthfulness of the Word of God. We know the Bible is true because the Bible says it's true, because God is the author of the Scripture. But it is so encouraging to us as we hear one evidence after another roll out by super smart scientists validating what we already know from being good Bible readers. So check that new podcast out with Fortis. It is a joy to get to have Jason as one of our Fortis fellows and getting to share his studies and learnings and experimentations with us. So we're excited about that, but we're not going to talk about Genesis today, though that's a great thing to talk about. We are going to go all the way to 2 Kings chapter 6 and all the way through chapter 7 to see kind of a large story of a siege that is happening in Samaria and by the Syrians. And we're going to try to say, where's the theological lesson? How do you apply a story like this? And we'll have to say right away, because if you're just a regular Bible reader and you're just having your quiet times and reading through books of the Bible, maybe reading through the whole Bible in a year, that's a good thing to do. Certainly not the only way to do it. But you come across stories like this, and you just kind of go, all right, what am I supposed to get out of this? I mean, it's a very interesting story, but what is the takeaway? And we'll have to say right away, this one is a little challenging because it's such a long story. I mean, you have to focus. You have to keep a lot of things in your mind at once, okay? So we've got the Syrians, they're making their raids, and Ben-Hadad, who he seems to be a bad guy, but that actually might be a title, right, for the king of Syria, kind of like Pharaoh is a title for the king of Egypt. And so the Ben-Hadad, right, of the day, maybe not a specific person, but he comes, he musters his entire army. He went up and besieged Samaria. 2 Kings chapter 6, starting in verse 24. There's a great famine, and it was such a bad famine in Samaria because they're basically cutting everything off, all the supplies off from the city, that it was so bad that it starts to give us some grocery items, if you will, and the cost of those items, right? Even today, we're in one of those situations where, based on the economy, based on global events, the price of gas is going up for us, or the price of groceries, oh, it's changing so much because of these world events. Well, in a very localized version of this, it was so extreme because of the siege a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver. And it says a fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 shekels of silver. Now, I don't even know the details. I didn't even look up how that would measure up to current values and things like that. But that's not really the point. I think we can all understand that we're talking about a whole lot of money for that which ought not cost a whole lot of money. That's the point. And if you get that, you've got the right point that the author of 2 Kings wants you to get. And so it's so bad that now the king is passing by on the wall and a woman cries out for help. And the king basically is like, if the Lord will not help you, how shall I help you? And basically, this is going so bad in terms of our situation politically and physically because of this extreme siege and this extreme warfare. I got nothing for you. And she basically tells the king the story of basically a couple of women, and they're it's so bad they're wanting to eat their sons. They're roasting their own children. And again, what's the point? Not a gross out. The point is to say, this is so extreme. Really, you could see a great lesson from back in the curses of Deuteronomy, where God says to his people, if you are disobedient and if you break my laws, these are the kinds of curses that are going to come upon you. And basically, one of those curses is, you're going to be sieged so badly that you're going to be tempted to eat your own children. And so that literally came to pass. So that would be a good takeaway from a story like this. But we're just trying to show how extreme this is. And so the king is so upset by this, he tears his clothes, and he basically wants to take it out on the prophet of God at the time, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, because, you know, if this is God's guy and this situation is so extreme, I'm going to take it out on Elisha. Well, Elisha was at home, and he was in the city of Samaria that was under siege, and the elders of the city were with him. And so it says the king dispatched a man from his presence. And basically, this guy is now going to confront Elisha. And so he comes and they hold him at the door so he can't get in. And then Elisha gives the captain of the guard God's word, God's prophecy of that moment. And here was the prophecy. We've come now into chapter 7, verse 1. Tomorrow, about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Now, again, you don't have to look up the prices and the grocery items at this point to get the point. The point is, now we've gone from such extreme high cost to extreme low cost. There's about to be an abundance of food, so abundance, we're talking about supply and demand. There's going to be such a supply that now the value of the food has become so cheap that it's going to just be almost given away, right? 2 seahs of barley for a shekel when they've had all this extreme price gouging. And the captain, he responds, it says, the captain on whose hand the king leaned said to the man of God, if the Lord himself should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? But he said, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Now, how in the world could that happen? I mean, this is pretty specific prophecy that the man of God gives to the king's captain, right? This is the king's special advisor. This is the king's special servant. He sent the elite, the best of the best, to take care of the man of God. And the man of God gives him detailed predictions of grocery prices that are going to happen in a very specific time, right? Not just some generic prophecy about the future. Oh, down the road, maybe it will be like this. And then we just kind of have to imagine, oh, maybe this is prophecy being fulfilled. No, this is so detailed. I mean, this time tomorrow, we're talking a 24-hour, you can start your stopwatch on this prophecy. And here's going to be the grocery items, and here's going to be the price. Well, it was so specific and so shocking that the captain said, ain't no way. This can't happen. If the Lord himself should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? In other words, if God started pouring money from the sky, there's no way that this could happen. Well, we have to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to see the rest of the story. Don't go sneaking and getting your Bible and looking at 2 Kings chapter 7 and reading ahead. Wait till we get back, because what we're doing is we're learning how to read a story like this and what we should take away from it, how we should apply it to our lives.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Crotz in just a moment. You know, Integrated is just one of six or seven, eight, nine podcasts. I can't even keep up anymore. There's so many podcasts and so much content that we're producing. And you know, everything that we produce, whether it's a podcast or whether it is special content, all of it reaches you without costing you a dime. You heard Dr. Crotz mention the newest one just a couple of minutes ago in the beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle, but we've got another new one coming up in just a couple of weeks. Stay tuned for information about that. But in the beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle, Dr. Lyle is the astrophysicist who makes the case for creation from science itself. And Dr. Crotz and Dr. Lyle join Dr. Greg Gifford in Transform, which is about biblical counseling, Dr. Adam Tyson and Way of Manhood, who speaks to Gen Z young men, of course, Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive, who's speaking on marriage and parenting, and Libby Glosson and The Better Way, who speaks to women on women's issues. Also, Wretched Radio with Todd Friel. Every single bit of content that we produce lives on the Fortis Plus app with something new added every day. Of course, the app is free for you to download and all of the content is free for you to consume. So if the app is not on your phone or on your smart TV, because you can download it there as well, well, do that right now. Get that. That's an easy fix and you can fix that before this break is even over. Go to wherever you download apps on your smartphone or your smart TV. Now, here's another fact. None of this, though it is free to produce. All of the content that we're creating, we're talking about hundreds of hours of recording and editing and distribution, and not a single advertiser pays for a single bit of it. What covers the cost of all of this is a group of ordinary Christians, men and women just like you. We call them gospel partners, just ordinary Christians who decided the content that we're producing here at Fortis Institute should be reaching more people in more places all over the world, and they wanted to ensure that that was happening. So they took a step to get involved to see that it did happen. Maybe you've been impacted just like them by something that you've heard here at Fortis Institute, and you also want to join us so that more people have access to this teaching. Well, you can find out what that would look like in your life by visiting fortisinstitute.org right now. All right, let's get back to Dr. John Crotz. This is Integrated.
Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Crotz.
Welcome back. I have an idea for you. When you are learning to be a better Bible reader, I mean, what a great goal that is. And that's what we're doing here in these episodes of Integrated. That's such a valuable thing. But you know what? It's a valuable thing for your friends as well, isn't it? Of course it is. Could you send this episode to two friends and compare notes about what you got out of the chapters that we're considering, the stories of the Bible, and what they got out of them and what we're trying to learn about how we can be a better Bible reader, that we could all benefit together, not only in understanding God's word, but then applying it to our lives. And that is where we are headed in this wild story in 2 Kings chapter 6. It started in verse 24, and it goes all the way through chapter 7. It's a story of Elisha, the prophet. It's one of his stories. He was the prophet after Elijah, and we've seen the city of Samaria, which was the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel at the time, and it is under siege by the Syrians, and it's not going well. But when the king sends his favorite captain to confront Elisha the prophet, he gives him this word that basically everything's going to be so super abundant in 24 hours that it's almost going to be for free, that we're all going to be feasting instead of the famine that we are in because of this massive siege. And of course, the captain said, if God made windows in heaven, how could this thing be? And Elisha's words to him at this point were critical. He says, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. I mean, that is very specific. This whole thing is very specific. How in the world will that be? Well, in verse 3, we shift the scenes now to the gate of Samaria, and there are some lepers, right? You remember leprosy, the lepers had to be away from everybody else. So they were all on the outskirts of town because nobody wanted to be close to them and nobody wanted to catch it. And so they were away from everyone. And they basically said, listen, we're in no man's land and we are starving to death. Let's just go ahead and send ourselves to the Syrians and maybe we can at least live and get some food. I mean, if they kill us, we're going to die anyway. So they rose at twilight, the Bible says, and went to the camp of the Syrians. And when they got to the edge of the camp, no one was there. No one was there. Why not? Verse 6 tells us, this is 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 6, for the Lord had made the army of the Syrians hear the sound of chariots and horses and the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to come against us. So they fled away in the twilight and abandoned their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. So basically, when the lepers came to the camp, instead of throwing themselves at the mercy of the Syrians, they had a party. It was incredible. It was an absolute feast because the Syrian army had lots of supplies and a super abundance of supplies, and they left them all. They had gold. They had clothes. It was great. Finally, they felt a little bit guilty. There was a little twinge of guilt. They said, the thing we're doing is not right. We better tell or else God's going to punish us. And so they went to tell the city gatekeepers and tell the king, hey, all the Syrians are gone. You can come out and you can join the party. We're fat and happy and there is an abundance left and we shared some with you as well. Obviously, they were a little bit nervous about this. This probably is some kind of ambush, but they went and checked it out. And turns out they validated the story because the Syrians had fled all the way to the Jordan River and they were just dropping stuff all along the way. I mean, they were leaving a trail of their remains all along the way to the Jordan River. And so the people came out and they plundered the camp. And it says in verse 16, then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Syrians. So a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel. Wow, that seems pretty specific. And it says specifically, according to the word of the Lord. So yeah, it's specific. And this was exactly what God said through the prophet Elisha. Now the king had appointed the captain on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. And the people trampled him in the gate so that he died as the man of God had said, when the king came down to him. Wow. So the man of God had called it. He even called the grocery prices, and they proved to be exactly right. The timing was exactly right. Even the fact that the doubting captain could see that this was happening and would not experience it, that was called out. How would that happen? Well, it would happen because he would be trampled by all the people rushing, right? I'm thinking of those crowds. What is it called? Black Friday, right? After Thanksgiving, when all the stores have the super sales. I mean, that's not as big of a deal as it used to be. Now people just get online and go, okay, give me the sale deal now online, click, click. But it used to be people would wake up at some awful hour early in the morning to trample everybody else to get to the great sale prices for Christmas shopping and things like that the day after Thanksgiving. Anyway, where are we going? This captain gets trampled because there was a big rush as all of the starving people go to plunder the camp and basically gorge themselves on the food that was there for the Samaritans. We're in Samaria, right? The Syrian army had, and they left behind because God made them hear an army. They heard army sounds and they fled for their lives. This captain was trampled, the very captain who said, if the Lord himself should make windows in heaven, could such a thing be? And it happened to him, it says in verse 20. And so it happened to him. In other words, he would be trampled down, for the people trampled him in the gate and he died. All right. So we got this big story. We're trying to be a better Bible reader. What should we get out of this story? What should we learn? And what I want you to do is develop your instincts that this is a theology encounter. We learn things about God in this encounter. That's what we're supposed to take away. And we learn God knows the future. I mean, his prophet called out the very details of the prices of the food, the timing, and what would happen down to the details to this doubting captain. Well, that's really significant because God knows everything. Why does God know everything? Because it's all part of his sovereign plan. God allows these things to happen. He allows sin to happen. He ordains all things to happen. He knew he was going to make some sound effects happen, right? As the Syrians hear the sound of chariots and horses and the sound of a great army. Was there a great army? Were there chariots and horses? No, but God created those sound effects so that the Syrian army would run for their lives. It must have been an incredible sound, right? God can make sound effects. God knows the future, and God can predict the future with precise accuracy because he knows it all, because he is going to cause it all. So, what is the big takeaway for us? We should stop and we should go, wow, our God is great. We should worship the God who can create sound effects out of nothing. We should worship the great God who knows the future down to the details. And when God's word speaks, we should believe it down to the details because our God is going to bring it to pass. When God says Jesus is going to come back just as he left the earth, he is going to come back, the angel said to the disciples as they were looking up there in Acts chapter 2, we should believe Jesus is coming back again, right? When God says, I am going to be with you in the hardest of your trials, we should believe it because God knows the future. He's going to be there and he's got the power to come through. We should read a story like this, not for the gross out parts, not for the interesting battle elements or the siege warfare in the ancient world. We should read these stories to learn theology, and we should then apply the theology as we learn to worship and trust our great God.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.